Tuesday. It's 3:30, and I have a half hour, the first gap of the day, before my next meeting. I begin eating the chicken Caesar salad my assistant ordered me for lunch as I return a call to the office in Seattle. While I'm chewing lettuce and the phone is ringing, I start skimming the emails that have accumulated in my inbox. The managing director picks up and asks me to brainstorm with him about who of our 4,000 consultants would be available and best suited for an information technology project coming in next week. I talk to him while I alternately type responses to a number of emails from the UK about performance evaluations and EAT. I can't remember when I learned how to have two completely different professional conversations going at once. I've been doing it for a long time, and I know it's not an ordinary skill, even for a woman. I've also mastered the ability to type and click without making a sound, so the person on the other end of the conversation isn't distracted or, worse, offended. To be fair, I choose to answer only the emails that are no-brainers, the ones that just need my yay or nay while on the phone. It feels a little like having a split personality. Sarah talks on the phone while her crazy alter ego types. At least the two of me are working as a team. I'm the vice president of human resources at Berkley Consulting. Berkley has about 5,000 employees in 70 offices located in 40 countries. We offer strategic advice to companies all over the world in all industries: how to innovate, compete, restructure, lead, brand, merge, grow, sustain, and above all, make money. Most of the consultants who work to deliver this advice have business degrees, but many are scientists, lawyers, engineers, and medical doctors. They are all extremely bright, know how to think analytically, and excel at finding creative solutions to complex problems. They are also mostly young. Consultants at Berkley typically work where the client is. The consultants for any given project can be based anywhere in the world, but if the client is a pharmaceutical company in New Jersey, then that is where the consulting team will live for the duration of the project. So for 12 weeks, a consultant from our office in London, staffed on this case because of his medical background, will live Mondays through Thursdays in a hotel in Newark. This lifestyle is workable for the young and single, and for a while, even the young and married. But add a few years and a couple of kids, and living out of a carry-on starts to get old fast. The burnout rate is high. That poor guy from London is going to miss his wife and kids. Berkley can throw more and more money at him to keep him, but at some point, for most people, it's not enough to make it worth the toll this job takes on families. The few consultants who persevere beyond 5 years go on to become managing directors. Anyone still standing after 10 years becomes a partner, and as a result, extremely wealthy. Almost all are men, and divorced. I came to Berkley with a background in human resources and an MBA from Harvard, the perfect hybrid of experience and pedigree. My job requires a lot of hours, 70 to 80 a week, but I don't have to travel like the nomadic consultants. I go to Europe once every 8 weeks, China once a quarter, and New York for one or two overnights a month. But this kind of travel is all predictable, finite, and manageable. My assistant Jessica knocks and enters my office with a piece of paper that reads, "Coffee?" I nod and hold up three fingers, meaning a triple shot of espresso and not three coffees. Jessica understands my sign language and leaves with my order. I head up all recruiting, the assembly of high-priority case teams, performance evaluations, and career development at Berkley. Berkley Consulting sells ideas, so the people who think up those ideas are our most important assets and investments. An idea that any one of our teams comes up with today could easily be on the front page of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal tomorrow. The teams at Berkley guide and even create some of the world's most successful companies, and I create the teams. I have to know the strengths and weaknesses of each consultant and every client to fashion the best fit to maximize the potential for success. The teams are asked to crack all kinds of cases: e-commerce, globalization, risk management, operations, in every kind of industry: automotive, healthcare, energy, retail. But not every consultant is best suited for every project. I juggle a lot of balls, expensive, fragile, heavy, irreplaceable balls. And just when I think I've got as many in the air as I could possibly handle, one of the partners will throw me another. Like some highly competitive Cirque du Soleil clown, I never admit to having too many. I'm one of the only women playing at this level, and I don't ever want to see that look in one of the partner's eyes. There it is. She just banged her head on the ceiling. We've maxed her out. Go see if Carson or Joe can handle this one. So they toss me more and more responsibilities, and I catch each one with a smile, practically killing myself at times to make it all look easy. My job is very far from easy. It is, in fact, very, very hard, which is exactly why I love it. But even with all my years of training and experience, my determined work ethic, and the ability to simultaneously eat, type, and talk, the hardness of it all does sometimes get overwhelming. There are days when there is no room for error, no time for lunch or to pee, no extra minutes to squeeze one more of anything out of me. On those days, I feel like a balloon blown to capacity, ready to burst. And then Richard will add another case to my pile with a post-it stuck to the top page. Your input is needed ASAP. A big puff of air. Jessica will email me with a new meeting scheduled into the only unscheduled hour of the day. Puff. I feel transparent, uncomfortably taut. Abby will call. Linus has a rash and a fever, and she can't find the Tylenol. The final puff. When I feel like I'm about to explode, I lock my office door, sit in my chair, spin to face the window overlooking Boylston Street in case someone should look in, and let myself cry for 5 minutes. No more. 5 minutes of silent crying to release the pressure, and then I'm back. That's usually all I need to reset. I remember the first time I let myself cry at work. It was in my 3rd month here. I felt weak and ashamed, and as soon as I dried my eyes, I swore to myself that I'd never do it again. So naive. The stress at Berkeley, like at all consulting firms of its caliber, is off the charts and gets to everyone. Some people drink martinis at Legal Seafoods during lunch. Some smoke cigarettes outside the revolving doors on Huntington Avenue. I cry for 5 minutes at my desk. I try to limit my teary vice to twice a month. It's now 3:50. I'm off the phone and drinking the coffee Jessica delivered. I needed it. The caffeine hurries my sluggish blood and splashes cold water on my sleepy brain. I have 10 unclaimed minutes. How should I fill them? I look at my calendar. 4 o'clock phone conference, General Electric project. 4:15, Lucy piano lesson. 4:30, Charlie soccer game. Last one. I always list the kids' activities in my calendar so, like an air traffic controller, I know where everyone is at any given time. I hadn't considered actually going to Charlie's game until just now. Bob said he didn't think he could make it again this week, and Abby won't be able to stay and watch after dropping Charlie off at the field, because she'll have to loop back to the other side of town to pick up Lucy from her piano lesson. It's his last game of the season. I picture the end of the game and all the other kids running off the field and into the celebrating arms of their moms and dads. I picture Charlie's fallen face when he realizes his mom's and dad's arms aren't there to receive him. I can't stand the image. Fueled by 3 shots of espresso and 2 additional shots of guilt and compassion, I check my watch one last time, then grab my cell phone, the GE folder, my bag and coat, and leave the office. Jessica, tell the 4 o'clock meeting I'll be phoning in from my cell. No reason why I can't do it all.